Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what is life like for Saudi women?
Saudi Arabia finally allowed women to compete under its flag in the Olympic Games for the first time this summer. International Olympic Committee had previously reported to say that the country could be disqualified for gender discrimination.
We're still discussing with our colleagues of the Saudi Arabia National Olympic Committee.
This was after it appeared that the regime blocked female athletes from taking part. First, it was the female show jumper, Dalma Rushdi Malhas, who was nominated to compete for Saudi Arabia in the Olympic Games. She later failed to qualify following an injury to her horse. Last year, Manal al-Sharif, a Saudi women's rights activist, was jailed for driving. Mrs. Sharif was jailed after she posted a video of herself driving in the Saudi city of Khobar on YouTube. Women are barred from driving in Saudi Arabia. On top of that, apart from a few exceptions, women are not allowed to work in the same place with male colleagues. This week's Islam and Life asks, what is life like for Saudi women?
This is a critical question. Very often when we speak about Saudi Arabia and when we speak about Islam, the first question is about the status of women. And it's as if by looking or studying what is happening in Saudi Arabia, people are understanding that this is the right way to be Muslim, this is the right Islamic answer, with women not being allowed to take part in the in sports activities, not being allowed to drive, not being allowed to have a public presence, and still many Muslims and Muslim women are criticizing the state of affairs and saying that this is not the way it should be. And there are tensions. So with the Olympics, the new step is to say, yes, we want to take part. In which way? Is this a sign that things are moving in Saudi Arabia, that things are changing and reform in the positive way? Or is it only because it has to do with political or international relationships much more than a PR exercise, than real policies that are changing? To answer all these questions, I'm joined by Professor Madawi Rashid, Professor of Social Anthropology at King's College in London. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let us first talk about the situation of women, because we have contradictory statements here. Many people, of course, are repeating what was said in the clip, that the situation is very bad for women, not allowed to drive, not allowed to work, not allowed to practice sports. And at the same time, what we have from behind the scene is people saying, be careful, we have trends of women in Saudi Arabia that are now emerging in the education, in universities, in social life, and resistance as well. So what is the right picture? Is it so negative?
The right picture is actually a mixture of both opinions. First, Saudi women, they are not a homogeneous category. They're divided by class. They're divided by their position vis-a-vis the state as well. So you have a group of elite women, like, for example, the woman who is going to or supposed to be participating in the horse riding context of the Olympics. She is completely detached from the real Saudi woman on the ground, and those happen to be the majority. Saudi women are actually a marginalized group that occupy the position of a minority in a country, although they are not a real minority in figure. The reason why I say that is that they are excluded from employment. They have the highest rate of unemployment, although they are the greatest achievers at university. And at the same time, the real concerns of Saudi women is not participating in the Olympics or participating in, for example, the campaign to drive a car. If you talk to the majority of Saudi women, those who can afford the driver prefer not to drive. But the problem is those women who are divorcees or single. This category of young women who are actually divorced have no access to resources or to legal representation without the mediation of men, and they find themselves completely marginalized without the ability to be present in the institutions of the state. Now, in terms of explaining this unique situation, both in the West and in Saudi Arabia itself, it suits both groups to focus the attention on Saudi women. And this is part of internalizing the status of women by looking at Saudi Arabia as an extreme form of backwardness with an Islamic kind of background. And the West excels in highlighting that this is the status of women under an Islamic theocracy.
So it's a very important point that we're making. All what we have with the headlines talking about driving a car or being able to take part in the Olympics, this is the discussion. What you are saying is the discussion for an elite.
The discussion for an elite, and also it is a discussion in the West that corresponds to what the Saudi leadership
would like us to believe. Yes,
I wanted that all the problems of the country are simply about women driving, and the West likes that.
Yes, but that's a very fair point. It's a way to represent a country which is a negative, but not through the real dynamics within the society, but symbols that are confirming this bad perception of what an Islamic society can be or should be, or nurturing the critical stance that we may have in the West. Now, if I listen to you in the way you are talking about and saying that the concerns of Muslim or Saudi women in the country is much more about, you know, jobs, autonomy in anything which has to do with their affair when it comes to marriage, when it comes to divorce, even this reality. And what you are saying is that this is a problem. There is a problem, but yes, at the same time, the way it's translated and portrayed in the West is wrong.
Yes.
So what is right? So how should we tackle the issue from within instead of being misled by this representation from outside?
Well, the representation will continue. The issue is to ask Saudi women what they want. And so far, they wanted employment. They wanted representation in courts. Today, a Saudi woman cannot marry herself, even if she is an adult. Mm. She has to go through the most restrictive interpretation of Islam. And therefore, she cannot get a job. She cannot enter the university. She cannot even enter a hospital for treatment without a male guardian signing for her. And therefore, she's not treated as a legal person, a person who has rights and responsibilities. She's always under the influence or the authority of the male guardian, yeah, and also of the authority of the state.
But I'm sorry, if when I'm listening to you now, the way you are putting it, and I listen to some of the criticisms that are coming from the West, they are exactly the same. So why are you so critical towards the Western criticisms?
Because the Western criticism, it is absolutely incorrect to say that it is the same.
I want you to present
it. In the West, the issues of Saudi women is regarded as an issue of Islamic radicalism. And in the West, there is always a focus on the reformist tendency of the Saudi leadership. Hmm. That the King Abdullah, for example, he's a great gender reformer, believer in equality. The fact that he has married 30 women has nothing to do with this. Hmm. So in a way, in the West, they want to focus on the problem as a product of Islam. And the Saudi leadership at the same time wants everybody else to think that this is Islam and this is what we are actually applying, as if there is one Islam to apply. Mm. And my point, which I'm making, is that the gender inequality and discrimination against women is actually not a function of Islam per se, but a combination of factors. These factors are an authoritarian regime that wants to project an image of itself as a reformer. The second thing is a combination of the marriage between politics and religion in Saudi Arabia, which had meant that the Saudi state measures its legitimacy on the basis of its visible piety without actually having the structures that enforce this piety. So, for example, enforcing a certain dress on women or claiming that, you know, Saudi society doesn't have ikhtilat, which is mixing between the sexes, and having the visible signs of piety hide serious discrimination, and it is all done for political purposes.
The religious credibility.
Exactly. Yeah. But when it comes to reality, Saudi women are suffering under these restrictions without being able to overcome these restrictions.
But there is one point which is important here. Because in what you are saying is that, okay, it has nothing to do with religion per se. It's the way, in fact, if I get it right, is the way religion is instrumentalized to give some religious credibility to a state which is an authoritarian state.
This absolutely.
From behind the scenes still, dealing with some religious trends from within the Islamic reference, and then mainly in the Sunni tradition, what is called Salafi and known in the West as Wahhabi, still, we can't deny the fact that there is a religious interpretation that is promoting this understanding that the status of women should be so and so, and discrimination is Islamically right, and رِجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاد, so the women have authority, and they translate this in this attitude. So we still have something which is a religious reference.
Yes. Islam is a product of its context. And we have multiple interpretations in Islamic history. Yeah. And what you refer to is one interpretation amongst others. In Islamic history, this is the first time in Saudi Arabia that the most radical interpretation are incorporated by the state. If you look at Islamic history, you'd find there was diversity. Mm. And there, the way Islam spread, it's because it adapted to different contexts, to different cultures and milieu. And it wasn't, there isn't one, even we have four schools of jurisprudence in Islam,
in the Sunni tradition.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And therefore, the fact that the Saudi authoritarian state cooperates with one and privileges one interpretation to the demise of the others means that they find support from this particular religious tradition in order to exclude other religious traditions.
So, but still, the point is that if we want to come to something which can evolve in the Saudi societies, we also have to tackle these issues, that this interpretation is problematic because it's also getting credibility through one interpretation, and this interpretation is the more literalist tradition or interpretation of Islam, and there are many others.
Absolutely. Yeah. Within Muslim societies, you cannot eradicate the literal and radical, whatever you want to call it. It will exist there. Mm. The only difference that has happened throughout time in Muslim societies is that the literal and restrictive interpretation had been sidelined to the benefit of more flexible ways of looking at Islam in context. Mm. And the only exception is in Saudi Arabia, or perhaps the Taliban, where the literal interpretation, the most restrictive interpretation, had become the religion of the state, and therefore had cut the diversity of Islamic interpretation that we have today. Hmm. In Saudi Arabia, they claim that they do not believe in the exclusivity of one madhab, that is sectarian interpretation of Islam, but in practice they do.
Hmm. And therefore, they create another one, in fact, by denying the reference of the four old Sunni tradition and saying we are Salafis, as if they are creating
a new
school.
But this diversity of Islam had been eradicated, and the people who have suffered most as a result are women. And there is a serious problem because the legitimacy of the state is measured by how much it excludes its women. And this legitimacy is actually causing the restrictions on women, and women haven't been able. So to give you an example, throughout the Muslim world, women are driving their cars to go to their work and take their children to their schools. Yeah. In Saudi Arabia, can you imagine that it is the only exclusive pious nation that does not allow its women to drive, and the rest of the Muslim world are on their way to hell? This is extremely restrictive and actually hypocritical. Because a couple of days ago, I saw a photo of the a Spanish woman diplomat in Saudi Arabia doing the sword dance with men, mixing with men. Okay, one might say that she's a Christian, but why have this hypocrisy that you allow foreign women to dance with your men and you restrict women from being spectators in sport or in a theater or in a cinema. Mm. So this hypocrisy is actually the heart of the problem in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I think that this is a very important point. So now we have a better picture. It's how religion is instrumentalized. And at the end of the day, it's a state using religion and an autocratic state that is based on principles that are not letting any kind of freedom. And it's a political freedom, which is the problem also, because we are talking about women, but it's a bigger picture.
But even then, when the state wants to project an image of itself as a reformist state and championing gender equality, it can do that, and it could silence the religious establishment. Mm. And therefore, the state is the ultimate arbiter in the status of women in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, but it means that the problem is complex and it's deeper than what we can see with the headlines that we have in the West, because there is a game with, you know, using Islam as the reason for the backwardness of what is happening in Saudi Arabia. If we come now to what is happening, we said that you said at the beginning, acknowledging that there are the two understandings or perceptions of what was happening in Saudi Arabia were right. One was saying, oh, it's backward, deep problem, what we are saying, that the problems exist. Still, there is a movement from within. And this is what I heard myself, because I have been very critical. And at the same time, I heard women saying, be careful, there are trends, there are things that are happening, and women are resisting. Is this true? Is this, for example, saying that we are going to take part in the symbol of something that is behind the scene happening in the country?
There is a trend that is calling for greater emancipation for women. But unfortunately, there are two things that are happening. This trend is divided. There are women who are, I would call, women of the state. They would champion any kind of state feminism imposed from above. And there is other group of women who are trying to look into the Islamic tradition and find ways to solve the restrictions and inform the society that there are other ways of being Muslim. That does not mean we can't drive, we can't go and work, we can't do this and that. So these are the two trends. And what is happening is they are divided. But in my opinion, we do not have a strong women movement that calls for emancipation of women as part of national empowerment. Because the state wants to divide the publics. And therefore, as a woman, you call for women's rights, but you do not call for other political and legal rights. And therefore, your issue becomes simply a women's issue.
Yes, isolated from the whole picture.
Hmm. And this is the problem. Hmm. When women, for example, start campaigns to drive or go on demonstrations asking for political representation, such as what happened in Saudi Arabia, then because there is no consensus over their cause, we find that men start attacking them because their rights are regarded as a divided right, not part of a national empowerment program for the future. But and therefore, this battle becomes a gender battle between men and women rather than between a disenfranchised society that lives under a dictatorship and the regime.
But this is critical and very important what you are saying, because there are two problems here. Something that you said, a very important point at the beginning, is that women in Saudi Arabia are like minority in other societies. They are treated like minority, discriminations, and they are facing. And what we can see, for example, when, you know, even in the West, when black people are discriminated and Muslims are discriminated, they are completely scattered. They are completely divided. There is not a unity of people who are facing, you know, this discrimination, and then they are isolated. And exactly the same, women's issue is isolated from the other issue, and we are talking about this. So this is one point, which is the reality of this opposition that is completely divided. The second point that you are making, which is important, and I heard this when I was critical, you know, have been critical of the petro-monarchy, is the people are saying, why do you care about this? Because the people are happy. They have the money, and this elite of women, they can have they are living in a good way. So you are raising a problem which does not exist. So on one side, minority isolated. On the other side, Why do you care? People are happy, and when they are happy, what's the problem?
It is not people. The problem is people are not happy, and women specifically are not happy. Hmm. If you follow them on Twitter, on Facebook, if you even see that they have actually gone and demonstrated, the main issue for some women are political prisoners. Hmm. They are deprived of their men, of their brothers, and the whole families are put in prison for political opinions. And in a society that is very patriarchal, where women cannot actually go to government institutions and ask for their rights, if you take all the men in the family, women are left without anybody to defend them. But even then, Saudi women have gone in front of the Ministry of Interior to demonstrate, calling for the release of political prisoners. When they do not have jobs at universities, when they had they had been fed up with the staff and the status of the building, they went and demonstrated. So it's not like they are happy. There is a group of elite women who are privileged, who the rules do not actually apply to them. In fact, they are part of the state and an extension of the patriarchal authority of the state. But the real women are struggling. And I told you at the beginning, the divorcees, the single women who are not married. Yeah. We have a problem of unmarried women. They call it a problem, but quite a lot of these women are actually choosing not to marry because of the deteriorating situation economically and socially.
We don't have much time, but I wanted you to end by telling us what should be done to improve the situation over there.
Well, women themselves in Saudi Arabia, it is their responsibility to join in the struggle with men. The rights of women cannot actually be achieved without a struggle that involves both men and women. But to divide your rights and say that I want my rights as women, it's not going to lead you anywhere. It's going to set greater schisms in society. And only a national front for the emancipation of Saudi men and women can actually solve the problem. The problem is not simply about women. Saudi men are disenfranchised. They don't have any representation. And Saudi Arabia is the only country probably in the world that does not have an elected national assembly. And therefore, to think that the king or the crown prince is going to give you rights as a woman, it's not going to happen. Because those people who give you rights will take them away from you when it suits them. The other issue is that it is up to them to decide what they want. And we cannot take the Olympics or the driving as indicators of their emancipation.
Yes, I think that it's very important through our discussion, and we started with this, we have to be very cautious not to fall into the trap of symbols and thinking that they are translating the reality within the society. And sometimes these symbols are instrumentalized by both the state and even the West by saying, okay, Islam is like this, Islam is to be responsible for that. And what you are saying is that it's deeper than that. It's the state using Islam and a kind of legitimization through Islam and through the religion to impose rules and a dictatorship that is not leaving the people. And what you said also, which is very important, is not only women issues about the society, is deeper than that. And we have to understand that men and women should come together, while at the same time, from behind the scene, we have women struggling for their rights there. And this should be said because it's not heard in the West that we have this trend. And once again, the point is to question the state of the society in itself and not only a minority, as if this minority can be saved alone and not the whole system being reformed. Thank you so much for that. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here's the way to contact us.
Islam in Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticisms on any of the shows you have seen or would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life, on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debates, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Professor Madawir Rashid. Thank you so much for your insight and your presence with us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.